Well, good afternoon. It's December 16th, 2022. 1500 hours. No, it isn't. Sorry. It's 1415 hours. Exactly. Well, it was. I thought it was 1500 exactly. It's 1415, but not exactly. And this is Ward Green, and we are in the middle of a storm. I'm about to go out and shovel snow, but before I do, I thought I'd better do the study. Just to try to make sure to get this done, maybe we will have some problems with the power, so hopefully not before I get this done. So I'm going to do this first, and then I'm going to go work. But it takes some preparation to go out and work. I have to get my gaiters on. I have my gaiters here. I'm ready to put those around my ankles and up to my knees, because we have a lot of snow out there. So what else is I going to say? Let's see. Let me think. Oh, yeah. Okay. I need to center myself sort of a little bit more in the window, possibly. That's no good either. There we go. The song that we're about to listen to here is called Beautiful Love, and they're going to perform it as a bolero. This is the Yosha Stefan Trio with Costel Nitescu. And this was performed as a live stream on YouTube on November 25th, 2022. Just a short time ago, less than a month ago. So here we go. Beautiful Love. Thank you. That was so brilliant. Just a brilliant performance by Kostelnicescu in that particular song on that occasion. And let's change the subject. I want to talk about the conventional wisdom about medicine and so on. There are certain things that we are not just expected to, but we're not permitted to believe anything else in the conventional understanding of health in North America. I'm going to talk about North America because I don't know any other place from my personal firsthand experience. But in North America, we're expected to believe, but we're also prevented from believing anything else. I mean, it's just, I mean, if we would follow the mainstream, that is, if we would follow the mainstream, it's just not acceptable to believe anything outside of what the mainstream tells us, or it's not acceptable to even think anything outside of what the mainstream tells us. And what the mainstream tells us is what I'm not sure what the channel is through the doctors, I think, through the personal doctors, through our contact with hospitals and through our contact with doctors. That's where the message is delivered. But it's definitely also in the media. It's in the media as well, where the idea, here's the idea. The essence is that we as individuals who are not doctors, anyone other than a doctor, we who are just the average Joe, the average person, we, according to this mainstream idea, we cannot know anything about health. That's the idea. We cannot know anything about human health, or even probably even beyond that. We can't know anything about animal health either, but we can't know about human health is the point right now that I'm speaking to which I'm speaking right now. It's human health I'm talking about. But human health, we can't know anything is what it's not just a presupposition, it's a command. They're commanding us, they're demanding of us that we cannot know anything, because that way they can tell us anything they want, is the other side of that coin. They can, if we can't know anything, then they have all the say, but that isn't necessarily their motive. It isn't necessarily to get power. That's not what I'm saying. But that is one result that comes from it. If we can't know anything, then they have to know. They are the only ones who can know. So the consequence is many of us are put in the position of believing that the doctors must know, because we don't know, therefore they must know. And that's false also. Both are false. Both of those are false. First of all, the sheer number of things that the doctors don't know is infinite. That's, and every day we're learning just how deep that pitfall is. It's a huge pitfall. And we heard Robert Cathcart III talk about how he was taught about the body's systems being sterile. Many of the body's systems, he said, he was taught in medical school that our bodies are sterile in many places, like in the brain and in the blood, in certain systems of the body. There are no bacteria in those systems, is what he was taught, or no virus, and that they were sterile. There were no organisms of any kind other than, you know, the human essential molecules, and what do we call it? the cells of the body, you know, whether it's the, you know, the macrophage, I mean, the, you know, the immune system cells or other cells in the body. Everything was human in certain parts of the body is what he was taught. There were no other infectious agents in those certain systems of the body. And he was taught wrongly. He said that was wrong. That was false. The virus hides in the body, but that's just one example of what they don't know, of what they didn't know back in his time. And they need to be taught more than we do, because they're the ones who're supposed to know. So to say that we can't correct them is also a nonsensical thought. But that's another corollary, or it's another consequence of believing that we know nothing and they know everything, is that we can't teach them because we know nothing and they know everything. And that's wrong. Even on a far greater scale, that's even worse. So consequently, anything that is spoken about health is always taken from these people who are supposed to know, because of the viewpoint. Okay, the consequence of this false reasoning, I'm saying, is that whenever someone speaks about health, they have to quote from the source of knowledge on the subject, which is the pseudo source, the doctors or the medical authorities in North America. In this case, I'm talking about North America. But that's just completely false. The whole thing is completely false. But you hear it all the time. People say things as though it's gospel truth, and it's false, utterly false, what they're saying. And they don't know anything about, forget medicine, about health. They don't know anything about health, about how to get health, about orthomolecular, how molecules affect the body, which is orthomolecular health. They don't know anything about that. So we're going to talk about, again, let's listen to a little bit more from Robert Cathcart. What happened to him at the hospital in San Mateo, I understand, is where he was when this happened. San Mateo, California.
So anyway, I began to use these small amounts of ascorbic acid, on patients post-operatively when I did their hip surgery at Mills Hospital. And it was amazing. These little old ladies who'd broken their hips were not taking many pain medicines, and they were getting out of the hospital in half the time. And some of them said they felt better than before they broke their hip. And everything went fine for about 3 months until the staff discovered what I was doing, and I was labeled a quack and all my referrals were cut off.
Because he was giving vitamin C in small amounts, he was labeled a quack, and his referrals were cut off. Okay, we've already heard about what he did in Incline Village, where half the town thought he was crazy, and the other half thought he could walk on water. We've already seen that one, but that one's here as well. This is on omarchives.org, the Robert Cathcart part of the video. Options on the main page of omarchives.org, there's a Robert Cathcart III section. You can click on that and get to these videos. But let's listen to one more.
The average person who's eating sugar, and despite that is in good health, and they're athletic and all that, and they just have their colds and flus and mononucleosis and hepatitis and gonorrhea and syphilis and diseases like that, the vitamin C just knocks the hell out of these diseases, and whether you take it to tolerance.
Vitamin C crushes virtually every disease that is an infection, is the actuality about which he's referring, to which he's referring, about which he's speaking. That was so short. I thought that was a little longer, perhaps. Let's talk about this. Maybe we'll listen to one more. I don't know what this one is. We'll see.
Well, now, first of all, I ought to talk about maintenance doses. And maintenance doses vary from person to person. You could have kissed the wrong girl when you were 16 years old and gotten the Epstein-Barr virus, or herpes 6, or cytomegalovirus, or something or other, which Maybe you didn't get sick at the time, but you carry this virus inside you and it produces free radicals, so that your tolerance to vitamin C might be higher as a result of that, you see. So that's one of the reasons why everybody's bowel tolerance to vitamin C varies as a maintenance dose, you see. And one person might, I mean, there are few people that get diarrhea as low as 5 grams a day. They're unusual, but they may be the ones who just have none of these little bugs in them at all, you see. Whereas if you have the average amount of bugs, you'll probably be able to take 10 to 15 grams of ascorbic acid a day. Now, some people who have like chronic fatigue and so forth will take 30, 40, 50 grams a day as a maintenance dose, you see. But then, getting an acute disease like a cold or a flu, everything is off. Instantly, you may be able to take 50 to 100 to 150 grams right then. And what we have found is that smaller doses more frequently are important. So this question about whether or not to take it with meals, it could be that you might want to take your ascorbic acid associated with meals, maybe. It doesn't make much difference, but let's say you had a pattern for your maintenance dose, that would be okay. But when you're starting to take it for a cold, for instance, it's probably better to take it every 15 minutes to half an hour, smaller doses. Like, I would rather see a person take 2 grams every 15 minutes rather than 4 grams every half an hour, or a great 8 grams every hour, you see. And it turns out that the more frequently you take the dose, the more likely it is to knock out the acute symptoms. But for people with maintenance doses, usually 4 to 6 times a day is enough. But then if you get a disease like mononucleosis, you may be taking, like 6 grams every 15 minutes for a few hours. And you keep taking it until you feel sort of a reversal of the symptoms, or else you start getting diarrhea. And as soon as you get diarrhea, then you may want to back down on it for half an hour to an hour, see, before taking the next dose. Now, this sounds complicated, but actually you get a feel for it. You can feel it. You may be taking, like 6 grams every 15 minutes for a few hours. And you keep taking it until you feel sort of a reversal of the symptoms, or else you start getting diarrhea. And as soon as you get diarrhea, then you may want to back down on it for half an hour to an hour, see, before taking the next dose. Now, this sounds complicated, but actually you get a feel for it. You can feel this stuff working in your body. There will be a sudden relief of a lot of the symptoms, and then you match the relieving of symptoms with the onset of diarrhea to figure out the exact dose and the rate that you should take it. Well, then after doing this, say a maintenance dose, when you're not sick, after doing this for 2 or 3 weeks, you just know how much you can take at any particular time. And that's another thing, is that some people, particularly those with allergies, will find that their dose varies throughout the day. And so one might be able to stand a 6-gram dose first thing in the morning, but in the afternoon, they've got to take 3 grams, you might say. Or it might be the reverse, you see. If they're building up food allergies, they might sleep it off during the night and be only able to take 3 grams first thing in the morning, but then as they eat, they might take 6 grams or so. So there's a variable dose on this, but it sounds complicated, but the major thing is to listen to your body, and your body will finally tell you what to do, unless you have things like ulcers.
That's the difference. Dr. Cathcart taught something different. He taught to listen to your body. We're not taught that in the mainstream wisdom. They don't teach that. They don't teach that at all. That's the huge difference. And I'm not sure whether he was the originator of that idea, or whether that is much more prevalent in, let's say, holistic health.
Or some screwed up GI tract.
Okay. All right. So he was done.
Unless you have things like ulcers or some screwed up GI tract. Unless to listen to your body, and your body will finally tell you what to do. Unless you have things like ulcers or some screwed up GI tract.
Okay. Right. So there are sometimes when we have to, when we can't just take vitamin C because of these other complications that have to be. Or they're not complications, they're pre-existing conditions. That's what he's talking about there. Not complications, pre-existing conditions. So, He talks about complications of disease too. He talks about, but he talks about, you know, the complications of everything, including taking vitamin C. There are, I mean, a complication is something that comes along as you're treating the disease. It's in addition to the disease that complicates it, you know, to be fairly obvious about it, to make the obvious statement of it. Okay, so let's come back here. Now, let's look at our Bible study for today. The thing is about the treatment of illness, I didn't realize that I never thought of treating my allergies with vitamin C. I have to try that now that he's mentioned it. I'd forgotten or never really understood that Dr. Cathcart used vitamin C to treat almost everything. Allergies was included in the variety of things that he used vitamin C to treat. So it's quite significant. It's quite remarkable. I'm going to adjust my window here if I can. Just one moment, please. Here, see if I can just. That seems to be a little better. I think centering myself a little better. Right. We know that Jehovah has a legal case over Zion from Isaiah 34 and 8. That was from one of our earlier studies in Isaiah. And I'm going to go now. There are two new talks out on JW.org, and that's the reason I looked that scripture up. You can go and look those videos up in the video section on JW.org. It's in the library section, and then videos under that section. But Psalms now, we'll go to Psalm 72, 6, what is it? What are we on? We're way up to Psalm 76, I can't believe it. We're in the section of the Psalms where Asaph is writing to the director on stringed instruments, a melody of Asaph, a song. Is this short? It's short. Okay. God is known in Judah. In Israel, his name is great, and his covert proves to be in Salem itself, and his dwelling place in Zion. There he broke the flaming shafts of the bow, the shield and the sword in the battle, Selah. You are enveloped with light, more majestic than the mountains of prey. The ones powerful in heart have been despoiled. They have drowsed away to their sleep, and none of all the valiant men have found their hands. From your rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the charioteer and the horse have fallen fast asleep. You, fear-inspiring, you are, and who can stand before you because of the strength of your anger? From heaven you caused the legal contest to be heard. The earth itself feared and kept quiet. When God rose up to judgment to save all the meek of the earth, Selah. For the very rage of man will laud you. The remainder of raging you will gird upon yourself. Vow and pay to Jehovah your God, all you who are round about him. Let them bring a gift in fear. He will humble the spirit of leaders. Fear-inspiring he is to the kings of the earth. That's the end of Psalm 76 for today's study, December 16th, 2022. He saves all the meek of the earth. Verse 9. Vow and pay to Jehovah your God, all you who are round about him. So we can make vows to Jehovah. We don't have to just pray for Jehovah to let his will be done, for Jehovah to bless us, or for Jehovah to decide what's good for us. We don't just have to pray for that. We don't merely have to just simply say, Jehovah, help us because we need help. We can also make vows to Jehovah. And we don't have to just pray for Jehovah's will to come on the earth, for his name to be sanctified, for his will to take place, you know, as in heaven, also on the earth, which is the Lord's Prayer, we can also make vows, which are prayers to God, where we promise to do or not to do certain things. And we promise it for a particular period of time. Perhaps we promise it from now until we see the new kingdom, or from now until we die, or perhaps we promise it for 1 week or 1 day, or perhaps we make a promise for 1 year or 10 years. But we can make vows for any length of time, and we can keep repeating these vows as often as we need to in order to remind ourselves that we've told God. We could keep praying to Jehovah to tell him and remind him that we still are keeping this vow and that we want to reinforce it from time to time. So that's another aspect of prayer, is the vow. But in Israel, his name is great. I mean, we could, for example, we could take a vow once we're committed to anything. We could take a vow on, we could say, we could give up alcohol, we could give up sugar, we could give up anything that we so choose. And we could make a vow to Jehovah and pray to him in Jesus' name and make that promise for any period of time that we wish. Now, if we only make it for a shorter period of time, less than our full lifetime, if we don't promise it to be forever, then the only problem with that is we have to be aware that we might relapse at the end of that period. So that's something to be aware of if and when we're making any vows. So let's look at Isaiah here. I like to see Isaiah. We're at 56 now, I believe. Is this short or long? It's short. That's interesting. This is what Jehovah has said: keep justice, you people, and do what is righteous, for my salvation is at hand to come in, and my righteousness to be revealed. Happy is the mortal man that does this, and the son of mankind that lays hold of it, keeping the Sabbath in order not to profane it, and keeping his hand in order not to do any kind of badness. And let not the foreigner that has joined himself to Jehovah say, without doubt Jehovah will divide me off from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, look, I am a dry tree. For this is what Jehovah has said to the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths, and that have chosen what I have delighted in, and that are laying hold of my covenant. I will even give to them in my house and within my walls a monument and a name, something better than sons and daughters, a name to time indefinite I shall give them, one that will not be cut off. And the foreigners that have joined themselves to Jehovah to minister to him and to love the name of Jehovah in order to become servants to him, all those keeping the Sabbath in order not to profane it and laying hold of my covenant, I will also bring them to my holy mountain and make them rejoice inside my house of prayer. Their whole burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be for acceptance upon my altar. For my own house will be called even a house of prayer for all the peoples. Something that Jesus said during his ministry. The utterance of the sovereign Lord Jehovah, who is collecting together the dispersed ones of Israel, is, I shall collect together to him others besides those already collected together of his. That's the idea of the other sheep that Jesus talked about. I have other sheep. John 10 and 32, is it? Where is it? It's not mentioned. 10 and 16 or 10 and 32? Which is it? We'll find out later. All you wild animals of the open field come to eat. All you wild animals in the forest, his watchmen are blind. None of them have taken note. All of them are speechless dogs. They are not able to bark. Panting, lying down, loving to slumber. They are even dogs strong in soulful desire. They have known no satisfaction. They are also shepherds that have not known how to understand. They have all of them turned to their own way, each one for his unjust gain from his own border. Come, man, let me take some wine and let us drink intoxicating liquor to the limit. And tomorrow will certainly turn out just as today, great in a very much larger way. That's from, it sounds like from Corinthians Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die. 1 Corinthians 15, but and something. Let's look up John. John 10. We're going to find the other sheep. It's 10 and 16. There it is, 10 and 16. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. 10 and 32. Okay, that's not the one. It was 10 and 16. And 1 Corinthians 15 and 33. Bad associations spoil useful habits. And verse 32, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we are to die. 1 Corinthians 15 and 32. So there are several references in this chapter of Isaiah, that one of which was the idea that was also spoken in, by repetition by Jesus in quoting this, where Jesus said, it is written, my house will be called a house of prayer, at Matthew 21 and 16, or 13, I should say, sorry, 21 and 13. What's at 16? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings you have furnished praise. Right. Okay, so Isaiah 56. Some people will say, when they are foreigners, they might say, or they will say, perhaps, I mean, this passage is telling them not to say it, but they will say it, and that's why this passage is here. They will say, without doubt, Jehovah will divide me off from his people. I'm a foreigner. Jehovah will take me away. He'll divide me off. Or the eunuch will say, look, I'm a dry tree. I don't produce fruit. I'm a eunuch. I don't have seed to sow. But Jehovah says, don't say that. Don't let the foreigner say the first thing, and don't let the eunuch say the second thing. Because eunuchs, Jehovah says, will be given within his walls a monument and a name, something better than sons and daughters. That's pretty interesting. And we don't, that doesn't say that we want to be eunuchs here, or that we need to be eunuchs. It's just saying that there are eunuchs. And there are, just like there are foreigners, not everyone's the same. We're not all exactly the same in what we have, or in what our origin is. Some of us are foreigners in the land in which we're living. And those who have the heavenly calling, it's almost like we are foreigners on the earth, because we're living on the earth, but it's like a foreign country to us. We're never at home here, because our hope is to live in heaven. That's true also. The illustration of the foreigners applies to the heavenly class, or those with the heavenly hope. In other words, those who believe that they're going to heaven, they really believe that they're going to heaven, and they are of that calling. They have the calling that they don't have any real place on earth, because they're far more interested and very interested in living in heaven and serving Jehovah in heaven, in the kingdom, in heaven. So the kingdom will be administered on earth as well, but there will be a government in heaven to administer the things that need to be done in heaven. For example, the ransom sacrifice has to be administered in order to teach people, and to, in order to restore people to perfect life on earth, that which was lost by Adam and by Eve when they were both put out of the Garden of Eden. So these things are appropriate to mention in the context of foreigners, but that's just one thought that came to me. The foreigners will, he will bring them to his holy mountain and make them rejoice inside his house of prayer. Right. And so that can apply to foreigners on earth too. Not just those who desire to go to heaven who are foreigners on earth, but also foreigners from one country living in another country. It applies to them as well. The utterance of the Sovereign Lord Jehovah, who is collecting together the dispersed ones of Israel, I shall collect together to him others besides those already collected together of his. Besides those already collected together of his is referring to the other sheep. In John chapter 10 and 16, Jesus mentioned that same exact concept, that he had other sheep who were not of the fold, which he was currently gathering, or the fold, the main fold. There were other sheep as well, besides those already collected. But he just said other sheep which who are not of this fold, John chapter 10 and 16. I have other sheep which are not of this fold, and they will become one flock. So they're not going to remain separate. Just like he said, the foreigner will not be divided off. They will all be brought into one flock to be blessed by Jehovah. Jehovah loves all of us. That's what that says. Not just Jesus, and not just the heavenly calling, and or not just those who wish to live forever on earth, such as Adam and Eve were intended to do, but Jehovah loves everyone, every single one of us. That's why, in Jesus' case, he gave up his life in order to be resurrected, but also to bless all of mankind. And that was why Jehovah loved him. So perhaps we can find reasons why Jehovah will love us as well. But we will not be giving the ransom sacrifice in the same way that Jesus did, obviously, because his purpose was unique. He is the Messiah. So we're done our study for today. I'll stop there, I think, so that I can get back to concentrating on the pressing matters at hand here. I've got my suspenders on because I've got my snow pants on. I'll put the gaiters over top, and I won't wear the down jacket. This is just for indoors. This down jacket, I will not be wearing this. I'll be wearing a minimum of clothing outside because it's fairly warm out. It's actually above zero out there. That's why it's wet out. Friday? No, it's not about, it's probably about zero. Tomorrow it's supposed to be even warmer, so that's going to be devastating as far as the snow being wet. It just depends how much snow we get. We're supposed to get as much as a foot of snow over 2 days, so 6 inches today, 6 inches tomorrow, possible. And I have to go and clear the first 6 inches today, but I will be wearing a very medium weight fleece, and then I'll be wearing a rain jacket over top of it. Just a windbreaker, or just a light shell, which does breathe a little bit, but it's going to be warm in this kind of warm weather. It's not cold enough. It's not really cold enough to do hard work. That's the challenge. So I'll be wearing, I've got several layers of pants on, but they're all fairly light layers. And they're going to get drenched with sweat, and I'm going to have to figure out whether I want to build a fire or not to dry them, because otherwise I can't dry them. Well, I can put them in the dryer. But I could wash them and put them in the dryer, actually. But they're not clothes that I, let me think. Not all of them do I put in the dryer, possibly, but I think they are generally clothes I can put in the dryer. Not everything does go in the dryer, though. But I think all of my underwear does, and all of my fleece pants, they all go in the dryer. So I can use the dryer, but I have to wash first if I'm going to put them in the dryer. I think that's the logical. I've never done it. I've never dried clothing that was sweaty in the dryer without washing it first. It just doesn't seem to be the right way to do it. You could do that. Certainly could do that. But it might get the dryer a little bit contaminated with bacteria. That's the problem. That's why I like to wash so frequently. Instead of using deodorant, I wash frequently. My underarms, very frequently, I wash them because I'm aware that any slight odor means bacteria, and those bacteria much more readily multiply when they are already present. So it's important to eliminate them just for that reason, that if you can keep the bacteria relatively non-existent, you will have fewer problems with the bacteria multiplying and the odor becoming worse. So the odor and the bacteria can be kept at bay by washing more frequently. It makes a lot of sense that to do it that way. I find that's, but I'm learning all the time. I'm learning every day, so I'm not sure what I'll be doing in the future, but that's the way I'm doing things right now. I did develop my own deodorant, but it made my underarms itch because there was something apparently that I put in it that was not good for my skin. And one of those things was tea tree oil, but I've used tea tree oil deodorant before, so it may have been the cacao oil, the chocolate. Was it cacao? I think it was cacao oil. Cacao. What's it called? There's a name for it. I'm not sure if it's called chocolate or cacao oil or what it's called now, but there's a name for it. It's from the chocolate plant, and it's the oil. And maybe that was what made my skin itch, actually. Because I put that in my... or it could have been the beeswax that made my skin itch, too. I don't know whether beeswax could do that or not, but I mixed several things together to make my own deodorant, and then I gave up on that because it didn't work the first time, but I'll probably be doing that again at some point. I'll try some other formulation. I'll find a better formulation, and maybe I'll find something that I can use. But why use deodorant? It's not very smart, unless you can just kill the bacteria. I think it's worth it for that reason, the tea tree oil. But if you can't, you know, it's better to wash. It's better to wash all the time. It's just better to wash. And I don't use running water. I just pour a little water in the sink, and then I wash. And then I drain the water out, and I do that as many times as I need to. And I don't have to run the water all the time to do that. I save up my water in 100 bottles that I have, that I've accumulated from buying drinking water. I just accumulated 100 plastic bottles, and I save my water in those. I don't drink that water unless I boil it first. And I try to replace those bottles as often as I possibly can, so that when I'm drinking out of them, they're not producing any molecules, or any contaminants from the plastic. I'm not getting any of the plastic. So that I'm minimizing the plastic contamination that could creep into the water supply if I drink the water like that from the bottle. So I need to replace those bottles, and I do as often as I can. It just occurred to me that there's a group of bottles I've been using for too long, and I have to replace those. Just realized that now. But every day, new things are learned. And it occurs to me that one of the things we should always say is seek the kingdom first. Seek the kingdom first. Seek first the kingdom, and all the other things are added to you. So this is Ward Green, Friday, December 16th, 2022, 15:04 hours. Thanks for listening. God bless you. Have a great day. I love you. Bye for now.